On BYUSN, hey, men's basketball just released their entire non-conference schedule this morning. We'll tell you what that schedule looks like and which games stand out. Plus, BYU Director of Athletics Brian Santiago has announced enhancements to the BYU Athletics Senior Leadership Team. We'll discuss all of the big, important changes.
College football playoff executive director Rich Clark shares his thoughts on the current 12-team playoff format and how BYU fits into that system. And TCU quarterback Josh Hoover on why TCU is different this year and his thoughts of playing in Provo.
He's got a connection to BYU. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Tuesday, July 22nd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who fancies himself an amateur BYU numerologist, Brian Logan.
Hey, so
what the heck is a BYU numerologist?
I don't know, man. You know, you can't use big words around me. So I don't know what that means. But Fox Sports recently did a who is the best to wear each number. And number 14 went to, obviously, our guy, Ty Detmer.
Oh, yes.
There's quite a lot of Heisman winners on that list.
As there should be.
Robbie Bosco was listed as honorable mention for the number 6.
Hey, Robbie. He lost out to Baker Mayfield.
That makes sense. I like Baker. Baker's a popular guy. Being edged out by him made me feel a type of way, right?
Okay.
And so I have already filed an appeal for number 7.
Oh, you're throwing your name into the mix.
I'm number 7, yeah.
Again, just to clarify, the best to ever wear the number in college football, you're throwing in your name for number 7.
I say what I say.
Unapologetically and irrational confidence. I love it.
Say what I said.
I love it. Well, hey, it's good to be with you, man. It's been a minute.
Man, I know. Shoot, when was the last time we
I don't
talked?
Even know.
I think when Moses parted the Red Sea. That was the last time that we've been together.
Nice t-shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go. On that note, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Cougar Nation's alive.
And we have great momentum.
And it starts and stops with Kalani Sitake. That's what gets my juices flowing, is to think that we have great leadership. And we're super fortunate that we've built something special. But what we're going to continue building is even going to be more special.
A lot of good things happening in BYU athletics.
The not-so-slow summer continues for BYU athletics. There's no off-season anymore, Brian.
No.
Technically, yes. This is the off-season for football and for men's basketball and for all of the major collegiate sports. But it just feels like the news cycle presents something big every day.
Yeah.
And leading us off this morning, BYU men's basketball has officially announced the entirety of their non-conference schedule. So let's have a gander, shall we? I know many of you are aware of the notable games that are on the list, but let's just start chronologically, and this is new. There are some exhibitions, Brian.
Yeah.
They're not so secret anymore. They're just public. Not so much open to the public, but the information is public.
Are they going to be televised?
There are plans potentially to televise these exhibition games, TBA for the moment. But BYU on October 18th will play an exhibition game at Nebraska. This is a Power 4 matchup.
Yep.
I like this. Then in Salt Lake City on October 24th, BYU takes on North Carolina. Brian,
mm-hmm.
How about that for exhibition games at Nebraska and the Jordan brand in North Carolina? The official season opener, all of you know about, it's been out there for a while, in Las Vegas against Villanova at T-Mobile. That's going to be a wild night within the BYU parameters, of course.
Right.
But long-awaited official game for BYU, debuting A.J. DeBonta and all of the other new pieces.
Yeah.
Hard not to get excited about the first two exhibitions and then the opener against Villanova. Quickly, I'll run down the rest of the schedule, and then I'm interested to hear your thoughts on just what you think of this rundown for BYU. The Cougars will host Holy Cross in their home opener on November 8th, then Delaware on November 11th. Another wild neutral site showdown against UConn in Boston. That's the A.J. DeBonta goes home game. He's from Brockton, Massachusetts.
Yep.
BYU hosts Wisconsin in a de facto home game in Salt Lake City. a rematch of last year's second round NCAA tournament game. Then the Cougars will play in the Terry's Chocolate ESPN Invitational. Brian, I believe you have an invite to the Terry's Chocolate part.
Are you saying that because I'm chocolate?
That was not what I was going for. But hey, bring it around. Then BYU will take on Cal Baptist in Salt Lake City. Another neutral site game at Madison Square Garden against Clemson on December 9th, followed by four straight home games against UC Riverside, Pacific, Abilene Christian, and Eastern Washington. I know that's a lot of information to process, but it's fun to just be able to discuss from start to finish each and every game here. What are your initial takeaways, of course, besides the Jordan brand in North Carolina you referenced in the exhibition?
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that stands out, not necessarily the team. I mean, obviously, it's a blue blood, right? It's a brand name school. Anytime that you have an opportunity to play against a brand name school in the sport that you're playing is obviously something that you dream of as a kid, right, and as an athlete growing up. And there's a couple of different teams that stand out to me, but I think the biggest thing on this list for me, Spencer, is the venues. Right?
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
Look, when I played my first D1 game coming from junior college, it wasn't just a D1 game. I played at the Cowboy Stadium. You know what I mean? Like I was in the locker rooms of all these big-time players that I just grew up watching or was recently watched, and I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, this is so-and-so's locker. This is where he uses the bathroom. You know what I mean? And I think what it does as a player, as an athlete that is trying to get to that next level, it makes that game specifically a lot, it makes the dream that much more of a reality, right? Because we put our dreams on such a high pedestal, and it's like, yo, I'm playing in the same venue as so-and-so, or I'm on the same court as so-and-so. And so I think that gives you a little bit more drive, a little bit more motivation to think like, you know what? Like my dream is that much closer.
It's a tangible one step away type of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is very cool. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that insight.
That was good, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's talk about some of these venues specifically. Yeah. We already mentioned T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Not T-Mobile Center. That's what's in Kansas City, home of the Big 12 tournament, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And then you get to play at TD Garden in the Hall of Fame series on November 15th.
Yeah.
You get to play at the home of the Utah Jazz on numerous occasions. Still an NBA venue.
Still.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That one step away mentality you were talking about.
Doesn't matter if the team's good. Hey, doesn't matter if the team is good or bad. It's just you're playing at that level, right? In that venue.
Then you play at arguably the most famous arena in the entire planet.
Talk about it. Tell them.
Okay?
Tell them.
Okay?
Tell them.
Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. What's bigger than New York City, the bright lights, and Madison Square Garden, and you take on Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic? To no one's surprise, because BYU has anteed up with their roster and coaching staff, the television partners have come in and said, we want BYU on our airwaves. We want to display them.
Hey, you make a great point because, like, seeing this schedule, and we've been seeing games trickle in here and there, right? In my mind, I'm like, there's no way that we get a schedule like this and want to have TV networks to spotlight us if AJ
come
is
come on.
It's just a fact.
Huge component of it. Of course, BYU's success last year is a factor as well, and the Kevin Young factor, but the reason A.J. DeBonta is at BYU is because of Kevin Young. Mm-hmm. So those two are kind of interchangeable.
Yep.
Like that is a symbiotic relationship right there.
Absolutely.
But people want to watch the number one recruit in the country.
And not only that, like, I want to like make a bet or see how many professional players that are in the NBA show up to games like this.
I don't know that there will be a team that is not represented. Like, if you're the NBA team that's not there, it's like, what are you doing?
Well, not even that, right? Like, I understand that part. I'm talking about, like, actual players.
Okay.
I'm not saying, like, the caliber of LeBron, but I'm just saying, like, NBA celebrities that hear about this generational talent in these exciting venues for them to be like, you know what? They're in my city. I'll show up to a game. Hey, coach, can I get some tickets? You know what I mean? So I think not only will there be a lot of just national news, obviously, I think a lot of the professional players are going to be taking a peek.
It's a natural interest.
Natural. Like, who's this kid that's about to come up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is he really all he's cut out to be?
Right.
Yeah, let's get a good look, a first-hand look. Okay, we've talked about the venues, the opponents, the star power involved in these games, all major components of the non-conference schedule. But here is the most important part of this schedule, Brian, and probably shouldn't be an underlying thing, but it is. BYU learned from last year. Yeah. Kevin Young was very public when he said our non-conference schedule was way too weak. Mm-hmm. And it hurt us, in his opinion, according to the analytics and the strength of schedule, when BYU was positioning for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
It's not like BYU had a bad seed, a sixth seed. They would like to have a much better seed than that.
Right.
Obviously, you got to win games, but if you play a better non-conference schedule, the committee values that heavily.
Yeah.
They looked at a ton of analytics, and by they, I mean the staff, from top to bottom. How do we get ourselves in a better position to have a better place in the bracket? This is the way. Villanova, UConn, Wisconsin, Clemson, these things matter. Playing in the ESPN Invitational, BYU is going to have 7 or 8 really important and impactful games that will push their non-conference schedule in the right direction.
And more importantly, I also think that's going to get them ready for a Big 12 play.
Right? 100%. Yes, I'm glad you bring that up, because that was specifically mentioned by Kevin Young and his staff as well. We weren't ready for the punch we took when Big 12 play started because the non-conference slate was too weak.
Yeah.
So that's a great point you make right there.
You know, somebody who is getting ready and is making moves left and right in all the best ways is BYU director of athletics.
Oh.
You know, usually people say AD, but I just had to make it a little bit.
The official director of athletics.
The director of athletics, Brian Santiago, has announced enhancements to the BYU athletics senior leadership team.
There are a bunch of them, Brian. Yep. Let's read through them. In fact, let's switch off, shall we?
Let's do it.
You read the first, because I love this guy.
Travis Hansen, Senior Associate Athletic Director to oversee revenue, revenue share, and NIL operations for the entire department.
Huge get for BYU. Travis is a man in high demand, Brian. The Atlanta Hawks wanted him to be part of their...
is that him with the blonde?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Eminem?
Rocking the Eminem cut. When he got his mission call, they called him Elder 8 Mile.
And you lying.
That's a real thing. It's a real thing. Okay.
I can't breathe.
Travis, in large part, was the reason Yegor Gilman showed up at BYU.
Yep.
He was his clear mentor, and Brian Santiago sees the value in a person like Travis being at BYU. Travis loves BYU.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Who's the next one?
Diljit Taylor, head coach of women's track and field and cross country.
Love.
He's won multiple natties. And Kalani Sitake have been named senior associate athletic directors and will assist the department specifically with strategy and impact. You're taking high-level head coaches and putting them on the leadership team.
Look, man, I love Diljit. She's the only coach that I follow on social media. I don't even follow Kalani.
Well, he never posts, so.
Oh, that's probably why. next is Dallin Moody, Deputy Athletic Director overseeing all BYU athletics revenue and finance.
You think that's an important job right now in this day and age of college athletics?
Absolutely.
Overseeing all revenue and finance. Dallin is a behind-the-scenes guy. Listen, I know many of you might not be familiar with him. He plays a critical role in what BYU is going to do and has already done. Then there's Chad Lewis, our good friend.
Yep.
And Casey Stauffer, who has been around the program for a number of years. Senior Associate Athletic Directors, they will continue in their specific roles. And how about a shout-out to Liz Darger?
Liz is my girl. She's my girl. She's before, I'll give you guys a little bit of insights. Before there was a diversity program here at BYU, Liz and I were talking about that. So she is somebody that is, I believe, 5 years ahead of her time. She kind of reminds me like of a Brett Yormark when it comes to
a visionary.
Visionary and really putting the athlete first. I almost say a student athlete, but they're just athletes now.
Huge emphasis on the importance of women's sports. Brian Santiago has been very vocal about that on our program multiple times. and Liz Darger leading that, the senior woman administrator. She, along with David Almodova, Trevor Wilson, who has helped for so long.
Shout out, Trev.
In the Student Academic Center and lining things up that way. David Almodova, if you like the game day experience, like you like going to the venue and all of the games and dances and the fire dancers in between the third and fourth quarter and
Cosmos.
The flags that go up in the stands.
The drones.
All of it. That is David Almodova and his team. Then there's Tyson Hutchins, who's leading the social media team, Stu Call and all of those guys. Yeah. There's so many important people involved here, so I'm glad to see all of them get their official titles and promotions put in place. Yeah. The team is in place, Brian. This matters.
Yeah, and well-deserved at that. So I appreciate, you know, what Brian's doing. Also appreciate that he and I spell our names the same way. You know, with the I and not with the Y. Shout out to both of our parents for helping us out. But Spencer, what do you think about this? Ross Dellinger reported yesterday that Memphis submitted a proposal to join the Big 12.
Oh, it's good to be in the Big 12, isn't it, Brian? It's good to be in the Big 12.
Hey, we have a home. It's always good to have a roof over your head.
Okay.
In the proposal, Memphis offered a reported $200 million to enter.
To enter.
On three's Brett McMurphy. Later reported that the Big 12 was not interested in adding Memphis to the league.
Access denied.
Was this a good move by the Big 12 to turn Memphis down, Spencer?
Oh, man. Well, there is, if indeed all of this is true, and there are now multiple credible national reporters saying that it is. I mean, McMurphy said $250 million in total to try and enter the Big 12. And that was just the beginning of it. Like, not taking any type of revenue share for the first 4 years or whatever it was. Yeah. Just a crazy proposal. Yeah. They shot their shot and missed terribly.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. That's like trying to go to the prom queen and saying, like, hey, I'll pay you to go to prom with me. You know what I mean? Like, what are you trying to do? I got you a limo. We get a nice Airbnb. You know what I'm saying?
You don't even have to dance with me.
You're right. It is on that level. I just want to dance, man. Please, I just want to dance.
You don't have to dance with me. But I just want to show up at the door and say, hey, we're here together. Maybe take a picture.
Take one picture.
Take a picture.
That's it.
And then, you can get a ride home with somebody else, like, whatever. Like, that's what it feels like.
That's exactly what it is.
Memphis is a good school, okay? Yeah. They have a good basketball program and a reputable football program. They have things to offer.
Yeah.
But this is a good move by the Big 12 because it's not time for the dominoes to fall again. Okay? Nah. The Big 12 is just settling in to some solidarity. Mm-hmm. Okay? We just added four other schools last year. Like, no more. You could stay at 16 for a minute. Yeah. If other dominoes start to fall, maybe you consider a school like Memphis. But it also got us thinking, like, is there a Group of Five program that people would like to have added to the Big 12? If it's not Memphis, then who? And if it's not Memphis and all their money from their sponsors of FedEx, like, Memphis is going to shell out some cash. It's like, no.
Not today.
Like, there is power in having some solidarity and continuity. Just for a minute, like, take a breath.
For sure.
Take a breath. So is there a Group of Five school that you would want to add to the Big 12? If not right now, but maybe in a year?
I mean, initially I was thinking just like football only would be Boise. But then I remember, you know, talking to Junior for the show. I was like, oh, yeah, it has nothing to do with how good a program is. It's all about the market, right, and how much revenue that you can bring and impact. So I initially thought about UNLV, but then, you know, also with San Diego State.
San Diego State is interesting because they have a very strong basketball program. I feel like their football program could go to another level with Power 5 revenue. That market, every time I go to San Diego, I'm like, how is this place not a powerhouse?
It hurts me to say it because, you know, I committed to them and they took my scholarship away, so I don't like to mention San Diego State a lot. But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here, I guess, with you. I wouldn't have met you. But, no, man, I think you're right. Like, that is a place. There's certain areas in the country where it's like Arizona should be a powerhouse. San Diego State should be, a powerhouse. UNLV should be a powerhouse. the thing that's in common with those three is those are party schools.
Indeed. there's a lot going on in those areas, too.
Yeah.
There's, like,
yeah.
distractions, yep. right? Yep. San Diego, the beach,
yeah.
you know,
of course
theme
they,
parks.
That's why they suck. too much distractions. That's why you got to come to BYU.
All the professional franchises that ever existed in San Diego, aside from the Padres, have left.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, we can't win here. There's too much going on. We got to get out of here.
It's crazy.
We got to go to Idaho where there's nothing. Sorry to anybody who's from Idaho.
Boise.
That's why they're good. There's nothing to do. There's no distractions.
Boise's a hidden gem.
There's no distractions.
It's a hidden gem. All right, our question of the day. We're talking about it right now with the recent reports about Memphis attempting to join the Big 12. Trying to take the prom queen to the prom.
Prom queen. Isn't that a song? It's a song, right? Prom.
Is there a non-Power 4 team, I guess, or Power 5 in basketball, whatever, yeah. that you would like to see join the Big 12 conference? At Tater Kugan X answers, only one is Boise State. Regional and consistently good.
The market, though. Market.
Yeah, what does the Big 12 need? Like, because you want a program that adds value and a market and some geography, maybe. That's why California, to me, is intriguing,
right.
San Diego State.
Yeah.
And it's not – people are like, well, now we're going from California to Orlando. We're already going from Phoenix to Orlando.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an hour longer flight, maybe 45 minutes more from Phoenix to San Diego. You're already in the Pacific time zone with the Arizona schools for half of the year.
Look here, kids got nowadays their online classes, which means they don't go to school, and people travel 2-3 days prior to, you know, it wasn't like back in the day when I played, right? So like I don't see travel being there's so much prep around it.
Sure.
I don't see it really being a big deal.
Look, I know that it's weird to make a trip from San Diego to Morgantown, West Virginia, but typically you only have to do that once every two or three years.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
It's the smaller sports, though.
Let's go to Cali, man. Going.
Tennis.
Back
tennis
to
going
Cali.
From San Diego to West Virginia, that gets expensive. I know it's weird, but we're in that day and age. Stanford and Cal are in the ACC.
Right. Exactly. If they could do it, we could do it.
Interesting conversation. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, join us on Thursday for a BYU Football That 70s Show special as we look back on the start of the Lavelle era.
Yeah.
And at BYU with the quarterback greats, Gary Scheide and Mark Wilson, Thursday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, College Football Playoff Executive Director Rich Clark shares his thoughts on the current 12-team playoff format. And does the Big 12 fit in better if it expands? This is BYUSN.
Who's the deepest? It's the Big 12 and it's not even close.
I love our position right now. We're very different from the other conferences.
I think this is the strongest conference in the country.
It's a great time to be a part of the Big 12.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up for the first time in a very long time with Brian Logan. A great number 7 in college football. Let's go, bro.
Come on. I appreciate that. I'm just waiting for you to submit my paper so I can get my number retired.
Okay, well, we can maybe do that while we take you to our next interview as we rewind to Big 12 Conference football media days, because we had the great opportunity to speak with Rich Clark, who's a fantastic personality, also happens to be the College Football Playoff Executive Director. Will it expand? He answers that and many other questions, like, would BYU and Air Force, both in 1985, have made the College Football Playoff? Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. We went there, too. This is Rich Clark from Big 12 Conference Media Days.
Rich, good to connect you with you again at Big 12 Absolutely. Conference Media Days.
Absolutely. It is great to be here, and it's crazy. It's been a year.
It has been. It's been a very busy year for you.
Yes.
With the College Football Playoff and the ever-evolving conversation there. So let's just start with a general overarching question, like, how was it navigating really some unforeseen waters over the past year with the College Football Playoff Committee?
Yeah, it's been busy, I'll say. I retired from the Air Force, if you remember, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going to go be working in football. It's going to be a nice, chill job. Oh, boy, no, not a chance. But I love it. I love it more than I thought I would. Last year, the first expanded playoff, 12-team playoff, went off, and it was fantastic. I was really proud of our team and how they took this on. The commissioners made some great decisions to really give us a great format to crown a champion, and we've made some tweaks to make it even better for next year. So I'm really excited about where we're going and where we've been, and just really proud and honored to be a part of it.
Let's talk about some of those tweaks. And we've outlined them ad nauseum on our show, but what tweaks are you most excited about for the current construct of the playoff?
Yeah, so this coming year, we're still going to have the 12 teams, but we're going to go to a straight ranking for seeding. So we'll seed teams according to their rank, where last year we gave the top four conference champions a bye for the quarterfinal, all the way to the quarterfinals. This year, it's going to be a straight seeding. I think that's going to make it even more exciting, you know, and it's it rewards the performance of the teams throughout the whole year so that they get seeded in accordance and they get their bye, and it will probably make for some better matchups in the earlier rounds. So I'm really excited to see how that comes off, and we're just going to make it as spectacular as we possibly can. And that'll set the stage really for the coming years after that.
Well, naturally, I have to ask, rewinding to 1985, when you were a standout at Air Force at one of the best teams in the country at the time.
Standout might be too strong of a word.
But. Cue the highlights. We found them. We found the highlights of Rich in that 85 game against BYU. But would that Fisher DeBerry coach team, along with BYU, would both of those teams have been in the college football playoff if it were existing in 1985?
Well, since it was 40 years ago, yes, we would have been in the playoff, and yes, we would have won the national championship without a doubt. We would have dominated. You can't prove me wrong, so no. Well, you know, that's actually a great question. I do believe that, you know, with our ranking, because we were ranked fifth in the UPI and eighth in the AP, I think, so we would have been in the top 12. We would have had an opportunity to play. In fact, I think we would have played a home game in the first round. Ooh. That would have been spectacular to get a team up at altitude, probably in a little snow or something. So we might have had a chance to, you know, go to the next round. But I do think we would have been in it. And that would have been so exciting. It would have, you know, having a home team, a home game champion or playoff opportunity would have been spectacular. And last year, that was one of the highlights of the playoff. Those first round games in those home stadiums was amazing, electric. And I just love that part of it. So, we would have been in it, I think. But regardless, it was exciting to be in it last year, 40 years later, to see how that went off. And the quarterfinals and the semifinals were amazing as well. I just love being a part of this.
Good luck to the team that has to go to Colorado Springs and be at what? How? What's the elevation there?
7,258 feet, far, far above West Point in Annapolis. That's what you had to remember as a cadet, and I still have it right here. No, but that, you know, it's high altitude, and we made it very well known. We had it plastered everywhere in the visitor locker room, so they had it on their mind. We're playing at altitude, but that's what home field advantage gives you, right? So it would have been cool.
Absolutely. Okay, obviously there are some huge questions about the future of the college football playoff, even with the tweaks in the 12 teams this year. When do you hope to have a resolution to maybe even more expansion and some more bigger tweaks to this thing?
I would have liked to have resolution yesterday, but actually, so by December 1st is really our no-kidding deadline. That's when we need to have a new format decided upon. I think, you know, the commissioners, they work together on this, and I think they would like to have resolution sooner, probably in the fall, so that they can make some decisions about the future or for next season, understanding what the format is. So we're working on it. It is incremental changes. There's a lot of factors that they have to consider. We try to bring them everything that we can so that they can have those things in mind for their decisions. But we're hopeful that this fall we'll have a decision.
Again, I know it's all hypothetical, but do you personally like the idea of a potential 16-team playoff?
Personally, 16 would be very exciting. Professionally, 14 would be easier to do. and 12 is something that we've already done. So there's, you know, there's a lot of benefits across the board. 16 is a lot of games, obviously, but it opens the access, and that's the beauty of it. It gives more access to more teams, and I think that's why the commissioners like that, and we'll make that happen, and it'll be spectacular. I don't really have a strong preference, but I do like the idea of more access. 14 is probably easier to do because it's fewer games, and you start to run out of windows, you know, to play those games on TV and weekends, right? Because the weekends are crowded already with football. So, but easy's not always best, and so we'll see where we land on this.
Commissioner Yormark was very bullish about what he likes. He's doubling down. He wants the 5 AQs plus the 11 at-larges. Even if it's not good for the Big 12 in year one and it only means they get one team in, he believes that, hey, we'll have an opportunity to earn two, maybe three bids in the future. What kind of momentum is that idea gaining with other conference commissioners, the 5 plus 11 format?
Well, I think the other commissioners like having another option on the table. We were talking about the AQ format, which is viable, and one opportunity that they were looking at. But now they have the 5 plus 11, and it gives them something else to consider and really to look at the pros and cons of each of those. And it is gaining some momentum, though, because it was just a few weeks ago that it really got put onto the table. So the discussions are happening. They're working together. The especially the A4 commissioners are really having some in-depth conversations because there are so many factors that go into both of them. And you know, the way I look at it, the AQ option brings a lot of certainty. The 5 plus 11 option is a little more chaotic. So it kind of depends on what you like as a fan, where a person might stand. But they're looking at things like, you know, how do you schedule these games? What does it mean for the future? There's just so many different factors that they have to consider, but they're giving it due diligence, and I'm appreciative that they're being very deliberate about this decision because it's going to take us into several years into the future, so we want to get it as right as we possibly can.
Love that, and I appreciate your clarity and insight into the situation. If it went to 16, would that mean 8 home games that you talked about in the first round?
Possibly, you know. Because you would add 4 games into that first round, and that could mean 8 campus games, which would be really exciting, right? So I don't know. We'll see. there's a lot of different options that they could within a 16-team format. There's a lot of different ways that you could execute it. I think having more home games is probably the most likely. That would clearly add a level of, you know, explosiveness to the playoff. That would be cool. I'm with you. Mm.
Hey, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the juice right now.
Yes,
Well, again, we've taken too much of your time.
But it's great talking to you again. Always. You guys are awesome and very proud of your team and what you guys did last year. Great, great season, and look forward to seeing what you're going to do coming up. So. BYU always has a special place in my heart. It might be the crack in my heart, but it's still in my heart, right? So
that darn Vysika Hema, right?
Oh my gosh, Robbie Bosco, Vysika Hema. Where do you find these guys? No, it's awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. Always great talking to you.
You know we have access to all of Rich Clark's highlights from the Air Force days. Interesting that he said, in his own biased opinion, that Air Force would absolutely have been in the college football playoff back in 1985 if the 12-team bracket existed. And he went as far as saying, we'd have won the national championship. But you have to think that, right? In the hypothetical universe of college football.
But he didn't. But they didn't this year.
No, they didn't.
But you did it. But he did it.
I mean, the thing is, they lost one game in 1985. And it was to your BYU Cougars. Right? Come on.
Yeah, they would. They would have been. In the current system that we have right now, they'd be in for sure. You'd have no choice. Actually, I don't know. It depends because BYU has a lot of haters. So it's like if you lose to BYU, and that's the only loss. You can go from like ranking 9th to like 20th just from a BYU loss. you know what I'm saying? BYU just hasn't had.
Don't you think we're past those days to a degree?
I think we are now.
All right.
We are now.
Okay.
And it's more because of AJ, not really football.
I thought it was interesting. He talked about, like, specifically, I know we're joking about Air Force and BYU getting in 1985, but the thing that I take away from that interview probably more than anything else is that there is significant momentum to have the playoff go to 14.
Yeah.
Not all the way to 16 like everybody wants.
Yeah.
And not to stay at 12, but to go to 14. He said it's much easier to make two more games a viable option than it is to get to 16. I don't know if I like that number. I'm like, what do you do? You give the top two seeds a bye, and then everybody else plays a first-round game? I just like the even nature of 16 teams, which means, like, everybody plays a first-round game.
I like that.
Everybody.
Yeah, I like that. I like seven is a good number for teams.
Because you wore number
seven.
The first team gets a bye.
Join us this Friday for BYU Sports Nation Best of Big 12 Media Days. Part two special featuring interviews with BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago and college football expert Greg McElroy and more. Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Greg McElroy was fantastic.
It was good.
As an interview. Ronnie Jones-Perry, former BYU women's volleyball star and Team USA, gearing up for a final match. We'll tell you which one specifically and why it's a big deal, and which two former Cougars made the PFF NFL Top 50 list. All on the way in headlines, this is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Brian Logan. And these are your Tuesday headlines. Start us off, Brian.
BYU Director of Athletics Brian Santiago has announced enhancements to the BYU Athletics senior leadership. Of note, Travis Hansen joins as Senior Associate Athletic Director, overseeing revenue share and NIL operations. Current head coaches Diljit Taylor and Kalani Sitake were also promoted as Senior Associate Athletic Directors. That will assist the department with strategy and impact. Other additions and elevated roles from within the athletic department were announced yesterday.
BYU men's and women's volleyball both earn AVCA Team Academic Awards for 2025. In order to receive that award, teams must maintain a 3.3 GPA or higher for the entire year. The women's team had a 3.55 average GPA. Wow. Earned the award for a sixth year in a row, and the men's team carried a 3.41 average GPA. Getting it done in the classroom.
Ronnie Jones-Perry and Team USA will compete in the Volleyball Nations League final tomorrow morning against Italy. The match will take place in Poland and will begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern.
Daniel Schneeman recorded an RBI yesterday in a 10-5 win against the Baltimore Orioles. Schneeman up to 26 runs batted in this season. He's batting .212. Dude's got 9 home runs as well. Good to see him getting it done in his second big league year.
BYU golfers Whitney Bands and Berlin Long secure first and second place after day one at the 119th Utah Women's State Amateur. Bands and Long will be the top two seeds for match play, which will begin with the round of 32 this morning, followed by the round of 16 that will be played this afternoon.
It's a lot of golf. But Whitney and Berlin seem poised for the moment. Good luck. Two former Cougars have qualified for the Pro Football Focus 2025 NFL Top 50. Fred Warner.
Frederick.
Not a shocker. In at number 24. That is PFF's top linebacker, by the way. 24 felt a little low to me. Warner recorded 131 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, and 2 interceptions last year for the 49ers. He was also injured.
Right.
He's also playing injured.
Right.
Like, who is this guy? The other Cougar to make the list, Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua, number 32. He played 11 games last season, had to sit out for a while with an injury of his own. Nacua still had the NFL's highest receiving grade at 93. Good to have some stars in the NFL, Brian.
Hey, come to Brigham, go to the league.
Let's go. More BYUSN on the way, specifically my one-on-one with TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, why he believes TCU is way different this year, and his thoughts on playing in Provo on November 15th. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Let's head back to our collection of fantastic interviews from Big 12 Conference Media Days. This time, my one-on-one with TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, who, if you remember, we lit up the Cougars in his first start in his freshman year at TCU. 44-11 win for the Horned Frogs. Well, yeah. Didn't play last year against TCU. Now he gets his opportunity to play in Provo in mid-November, Brian. Home field advantage for the Cougars? Here's Josh Hoover on BYU Sports Nation.
Josh, welcome back to Big 12 Football Media Days. You come back with one of the best completion percentages in the entire conference and certainly a lot of confidence for the TCU offense. How do you feel like you're going to build in the right direction from what you did last year?
Yeah, I think it started this offseason, just going back and trying to figure out ways I can get better. I think just naturally developing as a quarterback, the longer you play, the more you see things, the more you kind of make better decisions. At least for me, that's kind of been the case. And so I think this spring I took huge jumps, huge strides as far as making good decisions, doing what I need to do, checking it down when I need to, throwing touchdowns when it's there. I think just playing the game at a higher level in every area. So I think that's something I've, you know, tried to work on, is just continue to develop in a lot of areas. And then, you know, using my feet, scrambling a little bit, and then running with the ball when I need to, keep guys honest. So I think that's something I can do. But as I've gotten more comfortable, it's kind of started to come out.
Specifically, where do you feel like you have taken the biggest strides in your own personal game? You mentioned a lot of things there, but what's been the biggest step forward?
I think just decision-making. I think this spring was huge for me. Just understanding the game. I think understanding down and distance, what they're trying to do to me on defense, and then how I can respond in the best possible way to put our team in a successful position. So I think it's been just decision-making and just putting the ball where I need to, getting into our playmakers, let them make plays.
This is a program with a lot of pride and some tradition for sure, only a few years removed from a national championship appearance. So what do you feel like is the next step to get back to that elite national level for TCU football?
Yeah, we got to win close games. You know, we had a couple games that got away from us last year. We're 3 points away from being in the Big 12 championship game. And so when you say that, it's not that far away. Felt like it at the time that we kind of had some struggles there early. But it's still close games. It's the details. It's all the stuff that people don't talk about, you know, the way you interact with your teammates and the way you show up, work, and the experience, the maturity of your team. So it goes back to those things, and that's something we focused on this offseason, is just continuing to develop as a team, our culture, moving forward in the right direction with our offense and finding stuff that we do that we like to do offensively that's comfortable for us. And so I think we've kind of started to figure that out, and it's going to be a great year, and I'm excited about it.
You pointed out literally just a few points on the scoreboard. Comes down to a few plays from potentially being again at the top of the Big 12. So how do you manage the not driving yourself crazy thinking about that, but also using it as a motivating tool?
Yeah, I think it's you look back on that, and like most people wouldn't even realize that, you know, unless you set, like, you brought it to the table. And so I think as a team we've made that known, that hey guys, like, you know, we lost some early games that we shouldn't have lost, but we still had a chance. You know, that's part of this conference. And it's just, you never know who's going to be good. You never know who's going to win what game, lose what game. It's so competitive all the way around that you've got to continue to fight the entire season. And I think that, you know, looking back at it, there's some things we've learned and we're going to grow from as a program. And I know me especially, there's a lot of things that I need to improve on, and I'm going to this year. And I think as a quarterback, it's important for me to, you know, let that be known that there's some things I'm working on. And I think everybody else will follow that lead and fall in line.
TCU quarterback Josh Hoover is on BYU Sports Nation. What would you say the identity of TCU football is right now?
Yeah, I think we're just a blue-collar, chip-on-the-shoulder type team. You know, I know that's how I am. I didn't have one big recruit out of high school, been told no a lot of times, and just kept on scrapping. And I know that's a story for a lot of guys. You know, looking around at the guys here at Media Day, you know, Namdi was a JUCO guy, and a lot of guys just didn't have very many offers. And I think we all take pride in the things we've been through, and in the blue chip mentality, blue collar mentality that we've got in the city of Fort Worth. And that's just kind of who we are. We're ready to play and ready to do it with an edge.
What makes you want to play for a coach like Sonny Dykes?
He does a great job of bringing in the right people. You know, he does a great job with the coaching staff and bringing in the right players in the portal. And he just really runs the program in a really special way. He's like a CEO, just makes all the right decisions and brings the people in to help us be successful. And so I think when you have a coach like that, you have a lot of respect for what he's doing, and we're excited to go play, and glad he's our head coach.
Let's rewind to your first start, which happened to be against BYU. I don't know if you threw an incomplete pass in that game, Josh.
There was. Yeah, I threw actually maybe one or two the other team, but it was good.
I do remember the interception, but you had a great game and a runaway victory. How do you feel like you've changed the most as a player from that first start to where you stand with me today?
Well, looking back on it, it's kind of funny. Like, thinking about that game, just everything was going 100 miles an hour. I mean, I saw, like, little white jerseys going everywhere, BYU, you know. These guys are flying around, and it was all moving so fast. And I think as you play, it just kind of slows down. It just comes what you do. And I feel like I've grown a lot in that sense, just seeing the field, seeing everything. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know at the time, but, you know, looking back on it now, it's kind of funny to see how I was seeing it. So,
TCU in Provo this year. What do you know about Provo and Lavelle Edwards Stadium, or at least what have you heard?
Yeah, I mean, my dad played there in college, and so I've always heard that, you know, it's a great place to play. The fans are definitely a little bit rowdy, and I'm excited about that atmosphere, excited about that opportunity. BYU is going to be really good. They were good last year. They've got a great program, and they're going to be good on defense. So it's going to be a great challenge for us on the road, and couldn't be more excited about it, and it's going to be a great opportunity.
Yeah, let's have some fun with the history of your dad playing there. For those who don't know, walk us through his ties to BYU in that stadium.
Yeah, so he played at Colorado State, and so he played at BYU a couple times, I think. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how successful they were, but they...
That doesn't matter.
But they played out there, and I think they actually played in a snow game 1 year. But, yeah, I think I always heard about how hard the field was, you know, back in the day, the AstroTurf or whatever it was. So it's... BYU is a great spot, and they have a great program. Can't say enough good things about them, but, you know, we're excited to do our part and play them.
I can assure you the field turf is new. It's much softer now.
I think it's grass now, isn't it? Yeah, it's grass.
So it should be just fine for you. What is your perception of BYU football right now? Because you beat a BYU team that was trying to figure out the Big 12 in their first year in your first start. Didn't get them last year, but now they're coming off an 11-2 season.
Yeah, you can't, you know, look at past experiences in this conference and make assumptions about anybody. I mean, you can take a team like last year, Arizona State was picked last, I think, and they won the Big 12. You know, I mean, you can't make assumptions on teams. And so for us to say, oh, we beat BYU 2 years ago, that's going to matter. It just doesn't matter. I mean, they had a great year last year, super talented team, and we know they're going to be really good this year. And so you've got to show up every single week in this conference and play your best football, or you're not going to win. And so excited about that. BYU's always got a good defense. Offensively, they're explosive, and their coaching staff does a great job. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Josh, we appreciate the time. Just out of curiosity, are you a Colorado State fan after TCU still?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You know, by blood. But I don't wear much green and gold. So
understandable. Well, hey, purple looks great. We wish you the best luck moving forward. We'll see you in Provo.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thanks to Josh Hoover. Spencer says good luck. I don't. For more interviews from Big 12 media, football media days, go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel, where you can find all of our content on demand.
Petty, Brian. Is there a non-Power 4 program that you would like to see join the Big 12 Conference? More responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYUSA.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Following the recent reports about Memphis attempting to join the Big 12 Conference and paying a hefty sum to do so, is there a non-Power 4 team that you would like to see inevitably join the conference, or at some point, I should say? At Rowdy and the Rock on X says, no. I think the league is big enough as is, 16 teams. And if we're going to add one, we should add a second to keep it even. But I don't really want to be the big 18 quite yet.
Big 18. I don't like that.
That's a great point. You can't just add one.
Yeah.
You have to add two.
You have to add two, yeah.
So who do you bring in with Memphis? Then it's like Boise, San Diego State. Everyone starts to put up a front again.
Yep.
I'm not ready for it yet. Yet.
Let's just chew.
For a second. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from @CL_living on X, who answers, how about the San Diego State Aztecs? Always good weather for a road game, and would bring back memories of previous WAC game victories, specifically.
I would like that. just I would like to just see them lose in all areas of.
Bring them back so BYU can beat them.
Association.
Fair enough. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who gets it, Brian?
Good luck to Ronnie Jones Perry and Team USA in the Volleyball Nations League. Final against Italy tomorrow.
Final?
Yeah.
Championship match against Italy tomorrow. Let's go. 8:30 in the morning, by the way, so we'll have a report on BYUSN. Our thanks to today's guest, Rich Clark, the executive director of the College Football Playoff Committee, and Josh Hoover, TCU's quarterback.
Hey, Dennis Pitta, I love you. I have all the time for you. And I wish you the best.
Goodbye.